So I'd like to thank you very much for taking some time to seek our Lord and to study His Word and to seek a better relationship with His Holy Spirit. We're going to try to accomplish that by our study of the book of Acts, and our theme was to experience this life in the Spirit that these people had then. This message is for July 11th of 2021. My Bible subtitled it, Paul Before Agrippa and Bernice, and we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 25, verses 13 to 27. My outline, Paul Before Agrippa and Bernice, point number one, Festus, Agrippa, and Bernice. Point two, Festus, Agrippa, and Paul. So the outline is real simple. It's these people and what they were doing, Festus, Agrippa, and Bernice. Festus, Agrippa, and Paul. So, Paul has been falsely charged of offenses and in prison, waiting for the Romans to make a decision on his case. It's been over 2 years, and I might add that patiently is how he waited. Quite patiently. In cases of genuine justice, one would arrest somebody because there were credible charges. That's the normal way we do things. Someone does an offense, they're arrested for it. In this case, they had this trial to seek to find some charges against Paul. It's backwards. Paul's arrested. He's been in jail for 2 years, and the Romans have no idea what to charge him with before they send him to Caesar. To try to illustrate that, in the world we live in, one would call this a grand jury trial. A group of people would decide if there was evidence for a criminal trial. So a group of people would get together, they'd call them a grand jury, and they'd look at facts, and they would come up with a determination if there was enough evidence to bring somebody in for a trial. But it's backwards the way they're doing it here. He's already arrested. He's already on his way to Caesar, and they need something to tell Caesar. But in Paul's case, things are backwards. Paul had the first trial in Jerusalem. That ended up in a mass riot. Then he had to run for his life with 400 infantry and cavalry soldiers. Then he had his trial with Felix. Then he had his trial with Festus. At that trial, he appealed to Caesar, which set in motion events that cannot be undone in the Roman times by Roman law. Today, Paul will get to share the gospel presentation of the resurrection of Jesus with another king and his little sister. So, our text is Acts 25, 13 to 27, and I'm going to read it from the NIV Reader's Version. A few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived in Caesarea. They came to pay a visit to Festus. They were spending many days there, so Festus talked with the king about Paul's case. He said, "There's a man here that Felix left as a prisoner. When I went to Jerusalem, the Jewish chief priests and elders brought charges against the man. They wanted him to be found guilty. I told them that's not the way Romans do things. We don't judge people before they have faced others and bring the charges against them. They must have a chance to speak up for themselves. When the Jews came back with me, they didn't waste any time. I called the court together the next day. I ordered the man to be brought in. Those bringing charges against him got up to speak. But they didn't charge him with any of the crimes I had expected. Instead, they argued with him about their own beliefs. They did not agree about some dead man named Jesus. Paul claimed this Jesus is alive. I had no idea how to look into such matters, so I asked Paul if he would be willing to go to Jerusalem. There he could be tried on these charges. But Paul made an appeal to have the emperor decide his case. So I ordered him held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, "I would like to hear this man myself." Festus replied, Tomorrow you will hear him. The next day, Agrippa and Bernice arrived. They acted like very important people as they entered the courtroom. The most important officers and the leading men of the city came with them. When Festus gave the command, Paul was brought in. Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are here with us, take a good look at this man. Both in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, a large number of Jews have come to me about him. They keep shouting that he should not live any longer. I have found that he hasn't done anything worthy of death, but he made an appeal to Caesar, so I decided to send him to Rome. But I don't have anything certain to write about him to his majesty. So I have brought him here today. Now all of you will be able to hear him. King Agrippa, it will also be very good for you to hear him. As a result of this hearing, I will have something to write. It doesn't make sense for me to send a prisoner to Rome without listing the charges against him. The end. So, Paul before Agrippa and Bernice, Festus, Agrippa, and Bernice. Agrippa comes to pay his respect to the new governor. Today, we add new characters to God's grand drama. King Agrippa was the great-grandson of Herod the Great. King Herod the Great was the one who had slaughtered all the babies in Bethlehem in Matthew 2:16. Herod the Great had killed all of the male children 2 years old and younger, wanting to destroy this Messiah. And Agrippa was the son of Herod Agrippa I, who had beheaded James in Acts chapter 12 too. You remember at one Pentecost, Agrippa beheaded James. So that was his dad. Bernice was not Agrippa's wife, but his younger sister, by a different mother, actually. The rumors in court persisted that there was an ongoing incestuous sexual relationship between them. So, A on your outline, Festus lays Paul's case before Agrippa. So your first blank in your outline is the word case, and all of these in this section will be C words. Festus lays Paul's case before Agrippa. Festus presented the case to Agrippa and his sister Bernice. Festus brought in King Agrippa because he did not know how to handle this situation. Paul appealed to Caesar, and Festus had agreed. Festus realized that these accusations brought against Paul by the Jews were not worthy of his death. He did not know what to write to Caesar concerning Paul's appeal. The fact is, Festus knew all the charges were trumped up, and Paul didn't deserve what was going on. But because Paul appealed to Caesar, that set in motion things that he couldn't change. Festus did not want to waste Caesar's time. Obviously, you don't want to waste the boss's time. Knowing that King Agrippa understood Jewish affairs, Festus hoped that he would be able to make sense of this situation. This would allow Festus to write something as he sent Paul off to Caesar. So, number one on your outline, it's about justice. About justice. And your J word is justice. We as a nation thought that the way the Romans dealt with justice was the best role model we could find in history. So when our founding fathers, 243 years ago, were setting up our new republic, this way of dealing with justice seemed the best they could find in all history. Festus said, when I went to Jerusalem, the Jewish priests and the elders brought charges against the man. They wanted him to be found guilty. I told them, that's not the way Romans do things. We don't judge people before they have faced those who bring charges against them. they must have a chance to speak up for themselves. That is normal for us today. We just think that's normal. But back then, the king and the people in power just did what they wanted to do to anyone they wanted to do it to. Common people and what they called peasants had no rights. This is still true in many countries today. There are many countries on the planet where the king does just exactly what he wants with no individual rights. That's hard for us to understand in the country we live in, but in that day and time, it was altogether different than the republic we live in. Our nation is divided. That's a fact. Our nation has some real problems. That is true. But our nation is still the best place on earth to live. We are divided. That's true. We do have some serious problems. But it's still the best place on earth to live. We used to joke when I was in the Army when things were all messed up. We call it FUBAR. If we're winning the war and we're this messed up, they must be really messed up if we're beating them. Number two on your outline, about Judaism. About Judaism is your second J word, so justice and Judaism. Festus, knowing that Agrippa had the most intimate knowledge of the Jewish faith and practice, proposed to discuss Paul's case with him. Agrippa gave the impartial review of the situation that existed at that moment. So the stage was set for Paul to plead his case and bear witness before a king. Jesus said this in Matthew 10:18-22. You will be brought before governors and kings because of me. You will be witnesses to them and those who aren't Jews. When they arrest you, don't worry about what you will say or how you will say it. At that time, you will be given the right words to say. It will not be you speaking. The Spirit of your Father will be speaking through you. That's the end. So Jesus prophesied, Jesus said, this is going to happen, what happened with Paul. And as we look at Revelations in the near future, we see this happening again in mass scales as the tribulation goes on in the world we live in. So Paul was experiencing that truth that Jesus talked about in Festus's court. Can you see this is true? Can you see it's true that Paul is trusting the Holy Spirit to give him the words that he needs? So if that is true, can we experience this truth in our lives too? If Jesus said believers will get to do this and we see Paul getting to do this, does it make sense that we could do it as well? I think so. Number three, it's about Jesus. So it's about justice, about Judaism, now it's about Jesus. The whole conflict was over Paul's conviction that Christ had risen from the dead. We read in Revelation chapter 1, 16-18, he held seven stars in his right hand. Out of his mouth came a sharp sword that had two edges. His face was like sun shining in all its brightness. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. Then he put up his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and hell. That's the end. So this is Jesus speaking to John in his revelation, explaining what is going to happen. As Festus explained the case to Agrippa and Bernice, we see an interesting contrast here. Festus called Jesus a dead man, but Paul claimed that Jesus was alive. That's a lot different. Many people in the world today believe that Jesus was a good man, and they'll go along with that idea. Some say that he was a great prophet, but he is now dead. But we Christians know that God raised Jesus from the dead and that he is seated at the right hand of his majesty on high in heaven. I found a Billy Graham story that I thought was just too good not to tell. Graham was invited to have coffee one morning with Konrad Adenauer before he retired as a chancellor of Germany. When I walked in, I expected to meet a tall, stiff, formal man who might even be embarrassed if I brought up the subject of religion. After the greeting, the chancellor suddenly turned to me and said, "Mr. Graham, what is the most important thing in the world?" Before I could answer, he answered his own question. He said, "If Jesus Christ is alive, then there is hope for the world. If Jesus Christ is in the grave, then I don't see a slightest glimmer of hope on the horizon." Then he amazed me by saying that he believed in the resurrection of Christ, that it was one of the best attested facts in all of history. He said, "When I leave office, I intend to spend the rest of my life gathering scientific proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ." It was the fact of the resurrection of Christ that called the disciples to go out as burning young revolutionaries to change the world of their day. They preached that Jesus is alive. This should be our message, not only on Easter, but on every day of the year, the end, and amen. Amen, brother, preach it. Be on your outline. Festus consults with Paul. B. Festus consults with Paul. Festus summarizes his first time that he visited with Paul. When those bringing charge against Paul got up to speak, they didn't charge him with any of the crimes I expected them to. Instead, they argued with him about their own beliefs. They didn't agree about this dead man named Jesus. But Paul claimed that Jesus was alive. I had no idea how to look into such matters. So I asked Paul if he would be willing to go up to Jerusalem. There we could have a trial on these charges. But Paul made an appeal to have the emperor decide his case. So I ordered him to be held until I could send him to Caesar. So Agrippa and Bernice have all the background data now that Festus does. So see on your outline, Festus consents to bring Paul before Agrippa. So your next C word is consents. This is a big deal, to let a Jew judge a Roman. That's a really big deal. Agrippa is Jewish, and for him to sit in judgment over a Roman citizen, that's a really big deal. Festus and Salam of Saudi Arabia, Agrippa and Queen Elizabeth II. What do they illustrate for us? Festus and Salam of Saudi Arabia, they are real kings with unquestioned power. In Saudi Arabia, he can do whatever he wants. He can even have people murdered in Italy and get away with it, if that's what he wants to do, because he's the king. There are kings on this planet today. Now, Agrippa was still a king. He was a king of a small part of Palestine that included a little bit of Galilee. But he knew very well that he owned his position, even in that limited realm, to the Romans. They put him there, and they could just as easily remove him. It was therefore his custom to pay a courtesy visit to the Roman governor when he entered his province. Bernice was the sister of Dulstra. Do you remember last week there was the situation where Felix and his wife Dulstra were there, and the historian Josephus said Dulstra was the most beautiful woman at that time in the nation? Well, Bernice is his sister, so I'm a betting she's a good-looking girl too. And she also was the sister of Agrippa himself. So Agrippa and Queen Elizabeth, they really have no power. They just have masses of wealth and prestige and popularity. But Queen Elizabeth II doesn't have any power to do anything. Because of her mass wealth and the prestige of the years that there's been a monarchy, and because it's so popular in that country to have a queen, she's there in all the pomp, but she has no power. Paul, Agrippa, and Bernice. So, a first one we looked at was Festus, Agrippa, and Bernice. Now let's look at Festus, Agrippa, and Paul. A, the grand entrance. Agrippa and Bernice did not get to show off very often. In their little province, they're the top dogs. So they never really get to show off as king before others who are more important. So they take this opportunity to show that they can strut with the best of them in their day. Today, we would call it the red carpet event. That's the thing we do. So when you look at what happens in Hollywood, and they roll out the red carpet, and they used to do all the searchlights and mass quantities of people gathered to see the movie stars go into these award shows. Well, those movie stars have no power. They're just actors. They're not even real people in the movies that they make. But when we roll out the red carpet, the lights flash and they get all dressed up and they really act like they're something important. Well, that's the strut that Agrippa and Bernice did. They were just like actors on the red carpet. No power, no authority, just looking good. B on your outline, the general purpose of their hearing. For Festus, it's to come up with something to write to his boss. For God, it's his gospel. So the general purpose of this hearing is Festus is in a tight spot. He's got to come up with something to write to his boss. But God's purpose is for King Agrippa and Bernice to hear the gospel from the best public speaker of that day. How can the world believe that Jesus is not some dead man, but a living person? That's the whole conflict with Paul. Is a Jesus a dead man, or is a Jesus a live person? They can see this through us, the body of Christ. People can see that Christ is alive through you and me, the body of Christ. As the Father sent Jesus into the world to reveal himself to mankind, so he has sent us. Can the world see the living, loving Christ in you? Can the world see God's love, the living Christ in you? Are you loving your neighbor as Jesus commanded? He said that the world would know that we follow him by the way we love on one another. So I'm challenging you to let the living Christ live through you today, tomorrow, and the next day. Ask yourself, how can I share Christ's life, his life, with others today? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful to be able to call you Father and to know that your Spirit not only is in the world we live in, but it resides in us who are believers, and that you will never leave us, you'll never forsake us, even when we're in a tight spot like Paul. We can be confident, because you said it's true, that it is true. Even if we don't feel or sense your Spirit, it's there because you said it's there. And we function on that fact in faith. So in this world we live in, it's a big mess, sir. And as I listen to the Old Testament and the leaders pray to the King of the armies of heaven, I'm a-thinking we need something like that today. We need the King of the armies of heaven to reach out of heaven and deal with the disaster we live in. Bring this world into a right state. Your Spirit can do it. There's a few of us who are longing for it. So, through the few of us who are willing, would you let your Spirit show in such a way that others can see your life in us day to day? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vein. See your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, oh
to die. and thus you speak. A heart tripping failures disappear. Well, you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so the one.